Welcome to the TechNori Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. Today's show is brought to you by ActiveCampaign. See why 65,000 businesses use ActiveCampaign for their marketing by signing up at activecampaign.com/TechNori. Get your first 2 months for free. Today's show, another good one. I got to nerd out a little bit and go back into my property management real estate days, which sometimes to me is less fun than others. Today, it was a lot of fun. Jude Chi is the CEO of Flamingo. I opened the conversation up with this story, and I'll reiterate it here just because I think it's cool and you listening might find this useful. Jude reached out to me a year or two ago, completely blew out of the blue via LinkedIn, and just saying, I've got this company. It's in the health space, kind of concierge for commercial real estate and some residential. Saw your background, thought maybe you could be helpful. And I had the opportunity to just sort of kick some ideas back and forth with him on what the logo should be, the branding, the concept, the pivot. And that's it. I didn't really side any which way. I just sort of threw in a couple 2 cents. And then over the year, ran into Jude at a couple of events, the G2 Reach most recently. And, you know, he's just persistent and was a very smart founder who is trying to build something cool and is reaching out to the people who he thinks can help him. And to me, it's always very cool when something like that organically grows and they find themselves sitting across me at the studio here at WGN. And this was no different. It was a great conversation. We really went deep into the concierge and amenities war that's going on in residential real estate, which is to say many of the residential towers that you might live in are trying very hard to keep you there. And they're trying very hard to give you amenities that are better than their competitors. What Jude identified, and I had never really thought about this, which as a property manager is kind of stupid, but it is the case. The camaraderie effect and the creating of a community inside of your building is less about giving you shit to do and more about giving you the ability to meet with people in your building, because statistically it is proven that those that are in their building who know more people are more likely to stay longer. So the actual business equation, the value prop that he's trying to solve is not just wellness for people and creating a space for events and whatever else you might offer. It's moving the bottom line up for the property manager so that they retain their lessees longer. And whatever he can do that, he will win. And so I'll spare you have to listen to the show for it, but we had a bunch of tips and things, and we really did like kind of a business model work through just because this was a really interesting observation, and I think he's on to some things that could be very different from any other amenity service that you've ever seen. And one of them puts you, the tenant, to work, and I think that's worth listening to. So you definitely want to stick around for that show. Event updates. My good friend Michael Gelfman will be back from Kansas City to host Dare Mighty Things again. He is going to be hosting that at Chicago's Symphony Center on Monday, October 28th. That's next Monday. Great event, as always. I will be the MC again, which I'm super excited to do. There's going to be some people from NASA. There's going to be people from all over the place. And you get to listen to it all day long, some of the most inspirational stories on the planet. And obviously, as a person who's been there several years, I got the chance to meet the CEO and CTO of Ripple, which was one of the coolest experiences for me. And of course, I spent a bunch of money on it afterward. So you should definitely check that out. Go to daremightythings.co. My other little pitch here, if you like this show, you should definitely check out Zach Sloan from Rent Grotta. They just raised $1 million. They were on the show. He's been on the show a couple times. But another play on residential renting. Definitely, if you enjoy this show, you'll love that. Go to Spotify and download or follow TechNori. My last little 2 cents here. Recently, this past Saturday in the WGN Startup Showcase, which is Saturdays from 1 to 2 p.m., we had a Republic company that was raising via equity crowdfunding, which you can invest in for as little as $10. Venafi. Just want to recap because I threw $1,000 at them, and I think it's worthwhile. They've raised $50,000 so far, 178 investors, 70 days of deal terms. It's a $4 million value cap, 20% discount, and a minimum investment of $100. It's pretty cool, actually. It basically is a marketplace for individuals, accredited and not, to invest money into future students' potential income. So rather than sending kids into the workforce with $200,000 in college debt like this guy, you can actually invest and pay for their college and then take a percentage of their earnings over the next, you know, however many years, which gives them the flexibility to not be saddled with debt so they can start their families and buy a house and all that other stuff, but also gives them the ability to pay you off without being saddled to interest. They just pay you a certain percentage and you can negotiate. Why, just really quickly, why I invested in that is because I think that there's a huge opportunity in the secondary market where they can actually package kids' debt, give it a risk profile, and then other investors can actually reinvest and buy that opportunity. That, I really do believe, is going to be a real thing. And it's going to be huge. And you can invest in it right now for as little as $100. So you should definitely do that. This is my conversation with Jude Chi, the CEO, founder of Flamingo. My favorite shows to do are the ones that originate entirely organically. Mm-hmm. And yours is that. Awesome. Reaching out to me via LinkedIn, having a conversation, mm-hmm. talking about naming the company and where you're going to go. Mm-hmm. And then running into, I believe it was at the G2 Reach event. Is that correct?
Yep.
And then having it go from a person who I got the chance to kind of meet and interact with and sort of hear their journey and their rolling on, and then to have them, you know, over time grow and grow and then find themselves in front of me is one of the cooler stories for me. So I'm really excited to talk to you more about Flamingo. Going back to our conversation on LinkedIn, I can't wait to learn more about why Flamingo. Yeah. I can't help myself. So why don't we just start off with what is Flamingo? And then let's start getting into sort of like how you got to this point.
So Flamingo is a resident engagement platform. We make it super easy for property managers to really attract and engage their residents. So what it means is, for a property manager, they can log on to our website and book resident events, whether it's fitness classes or whether it's bringing a chef to the building to do a sushi making class.
So these are more, would you say these are like luxury high rise,
these
more
are like
urban metropolitan?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we work with some commercial properties, but primarily high level high
rises. And residential usually.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. And then for the residents, what that means is they get an app that's completely branded to the property. And they can use the app for pretty much anything from rent payment to booking a maid.
Okay.
So we are really like an all-in-one engagement platform for...
It's like a concierge.
Exactly.
Very cool. Yeah. So your background is what? How did you identify this as an opportunity and start chasing it?
Yeah, so it evolved a lot. So initially, I was pre-med in college, so always wanted to go to med school. And then towards the end of my senior year, I realized that there's a lot more to do on the business and operation side of healthcare. So I decided that it made sense to go into healthcare management. So I went into healthcare management for a few years. And after being in healthcare management, I realized that there's a big opportunity on more the prevention side of healthcare. So I decided to leave my old employer and start my own company. So the first iteration of this company was called Hello Healthy.
Yep.
So when I reached out to you, that's when we were making the pivot to Flamingo.
Yep.
And trying to figure out like, oh, what should we call it or what makes sense? So went into basically providing fitness classes and other things to apartment buildings, offices, and senior centers. So initially focused on senior center, on office buildings. The whole goal was, how do you get people healthy? So my whole theory was, it's much easier to bring it to where they are.
Yep.
So bring fitness classes and other things to offices. Tried that. Didn't quite work. Turns out people hate working out in the middle of the day.
Yeah. It's a little challenging. I mm-hmm. want to do it. Like, yeah. I love the concept. I'm a perfect example. Like, I've gone through interval training things, and I've got this app right now I'm working on called Train Heroic. Mm-hmm. And I just can't get the, like, if I don't anchor and do it before I start the day,
yeah, it makes
I don't get it done. Right. And then now with a kid and like, you know, my job is like 80% drinking. So like, if it's at the end of the day, it's not going to be very good workout.
And the challenge for a lot of people at the office too, is just like some of the smaller logistics. It's like, oh, I have to like undress. I have to go, I might be in
a shower, want to do whatever. Yeah.
Like coworkers. Yeah. And then I have this meeting. I don't know when the meeting is going to start or if it's going to end late.
Yeah.
So it was just more of a challenge for commercial properties. We've kind of figured it out since then. But after trying that, pivoted to senior centers. So work with senior centers, trying to bring fitness and other things to those centers. And the theory behind that was because there is a hugely growing population. So I was looking for ways to keep them entertained, keep them healthy, and provide a variety of services. So I tried that, and that also didn't quite like work. And then finally decided to move on to apartment buildings. And then for that one, the initial goal was just providing fitness classes to the buildings. But then spent about 4 months just walking from high-rise to high-rise all over Chicago to really understand the needs. So talking with the property managers, talking with the front desk, talking with residents. Many of them spoke to me. Other ones were like, yeah, we're kind of busy.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess now I totally understand the need for a change of brand and direction, given the fact that you went from health focus to more, I would call it, wellness and ease.
Yeah.
Why Flamingo? Mm-hmm. And then two, I think there's an interesting conversation to be had here as we start to drill into what you decided to pivot to, because there are several companies we've met with, Pear Chef is one, Lulafit's another, that are attacking things that you're attacking, but they're one, not multiple, or they're multiple, but not one. You know, it's not quite there. And I do think that there's this arms race that's going on with residential towers, especially as more and more are built, and they're even building them in the suburbs now, which is an opportunity for you as well. And people are, there's a weird, I mean, you could talk to the folks over at East Bank and they tell you this too, that there's a challenge to get people to go to clubs now and like to do it there. They just, lives are moving too fast. And as they're, if the people living downtown tend to be a little younger, they have other things, they have kids. It's just easier if I could just do this down the, you know, two floors down or whatever. I'd love to know, after you talk about Flamingo, I'd love to know what you saw in the arms race of residential towers trying to find the most amenities possible. What you saw is these are like the three amenities that just are game changers and people are hungry for them. We'll get into that, but explain to me the Flamingo piece, like, because I think it's an interesting choice for several reasons.
So you've already kind of hit on it, that for a lot of properties, it is like an arms race. It's like we have all these competitors within like a stone's throw.
Yep.
So from 4 months of talking with a ton of property managers, the one thing that always came up was their biggest challenge is how do they stand out? So I have this property that's down here. I have this competitor that's literally 4 feet away. How do I stand out from that? I'm offering exactly the same amenities. We have a pool. We have the fitness center. We have a resident lounge. We have all these things. But my competitors all have the same thing. So their biggest challenge is, how do I stand out? And that's really what we learned. Yeah. So thinking about how we wanted to position ourselves, our whole mission was, we want to help them stand out. So the name Flamingo was just natural. It was, we help you stand out like a flamingo in a flock of pigeons.
Yep.
So that's kind of the thing that hit us. And the name just made sense. I wanted a brand that's very visual and something that's very like memorable. And also then aligns with what the property managers care most about, which is being able to stand out from their competitors or from their, as they call it, their comms.
So when you start the conversation with these property managers, and I think this would be kind of a fun exercise because I used to be one.
Yeah.
So I recognize.
I did commercial.
Yeah. So I was, it was a different, obviously, than the residential, but I was taking calls just for different requests. And I would love to know what that conversation looks like. When you when you call them up and say, I can bring you X, what do you need? What does that look like? How do you start to identify specifically what they're looking for?
So we usually focus on events because we know for most property managers, that's one of their biggest pain points.
Yeah.
They have a budget to do resident events. But as a property manager, you have a long task list of things you have to do every single day, every single week, and every single month. So events falls on the back end of that. So at the end of the month, you might have done all the things you need to do, but then you're like, oh crap, I have to book events for next month.
Yeah.
And then typically,
well, they're not event organizers, so
they're really like not. It's a huge challenge.
And the value prop, I've always been a little, I mean, as a guy who did events, I understand the value prop of an event. I've always been a little curious for residential owners, maybe it's because I'm about as antisocial as it gets, of what the value they're thinking. Is it camaraderie? Is it feeling of home? Like, what is the value that they're trying to create there?
Yeah, so it's a couple of things. It's what you just mentioned. It's the camaraderie. So for them, it's more like community building. So you get to meet your neighbors, and there are a lot of different studies that have shown that if you know 3 to 5 people in the building,
you'll stay there longer.
Yeah, you're 50% more likely to renew your lease.
Wow.
So right now, we don't have enough data to actually prove that. And that's one of the things that we are actively tracking over the next 2 or 3 years to see how the different groups function. So if someone is attending XYZ number of events, how does that change how long they stay in the building? But you kind of see it with companies like WeWork. I mean, grant given all their issues.
We'll ignore the check the black mark there.
But one of the biggest value props for WeWork, I've actually worked out for WeWork. Yeah. I worked out of there for a year. But one of the great things about WeWork was they did an amazing amount of events. And it was amazing to meet people you'll never have a conversation with.
So I really do agree with you. I think that they did an amazing... What I thought WeWork did so well, which is what Regis didn't, is that... And I mean, it's a complete knockoff. It is Regis. Mm-hmm. It's just a different skin on it.
Yeah.
And I always thought that what they made it feel like is WeWork is a home office.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I go to a Regis, it's like I'm just walking into... I'm just using your internet.
You have no reason to talk to anyone that you
see. In fact, you like avoid people like the plague.
Yeah.
And at WeWork, it's like this is like if I were working in my living room, but I have all the abilities to sort of tune things out, and they have you know, beer fridge and food and events and and just other kinds of... You know, they had companies like Trinet and others that were jumping in with them.
Yeah.
So I definitely... I see that, and then now I think about it, like in retrospect, that makes a lot of sense that residential would want to do the same sort of twist.
Yeah, and the nice thing is that we don't have quantitative data at the moment, but have qualitative. Like we have residents that have said, oh, I renewed my lease because of X or Y or Z. We have one of our client properties in SF. And we had one resident email us that this is the reason why she is renewing her lease, because she really loved the yoga classes. So we actually get some of that.
So you start moving from events into what are the other things that you can unravel here?
So besides the events and the fitness, residents are able to access a variety of services from the app. So you can book a maid. You can book a dog walker. You can book a massage therapist. And all of those services come to the building.
Are you building those functionalities, or are you integrating like Lisa app or care.com?
So we're actually building the functionality.
So a lot of these people might be even sourced from the building.
Yes, some of them. We've actually had residents I reach out.
See, that to me is a big differentiator. So like, if we could go back to some of the companies I mentioned, and I'll throw Second Kitchen into the mix because it's a little bit, it's similar in this. It provides a concierge service. And just to be clear, like Lulufit is a fitness focus, and Pear Chef is a food focus, and Second Kitchen is food focus also, but it's different. What I like about all three of them is that they bring something unique and special to these residential towers. The downside is that because they're singular, if they are successful enough to get in every building, they become new normal, and then they sort of cease to be defensible.
Yeah.
And what is also unique about you compared to them is that most of them are building brand first, so it's not a white label. And then there's the other part of this, and this is the kicker, and I think it is a big differentiator potentially, and you're not totally doing it yet, but I don't think you should listen to my advice, but I think you should look at it, is when you source, it's no different than farm to table food. We love to be able to say we ate dinner last night and we made food that we got at the fresh market down the street in Glen Ellen, and it came from local farms. Like there's something about that that makes you feel like you know the people, and like you're helping them, they're helping you. I've never in my life thought of this or heard of this, but the idea of a residential tower being looked at as its own community and sourcing the babysitters and the dog walkers and even the chef. I mean, honestly, you could even have people like a lady my thing bakes all the time. I would start eating her cake. I literally think that there's something to that, and it's very defensible and unique because you can get Flamingo in every building in Chicago and across the world, but every building, no matter what, is going to be uniquely different based on the type of people who are there, and that is defensible in an interesting spot.
And we've explored that a little bit because just from residents like proactively reaching out to say, I offer personal training services. Oh, I'm a licensed masseuse. So it makes it really simple to bring them
on. There are tons of people who live in, and I know numerous people who live in buildings who are yoga instructors or do it on, like they would totally lead that, but we would never have even thought to do it.
So it's actually been an interesting recruiting strategy for us because we have had that outreach.
Yeah.
For each new
and they get to meet them at the social.
Exactly.
It's like, it's really like you feel like, I can do a background check on care.com, but I'd also really like the ability to just like know that Linda lives on the third floor and I can like find her.
So we haven't done as much with that, but it is definitely like an area of opportunity, and we have had some outreach.
I think it's an interesting low risk trial because it isn't a built-in defense. Mm-hmm. I think the one challenge that a lot of these groups we've talked to have had with property managers is mm-hmm. the managers get 1,000 options.
Yeah.
And the 1,000 options solve symptoms. They don't solve problems. It's like, yeah, I'm sure we'd love to be able to offer food services mm-hmm. if we have a kitchen we don't use or whatever the case, cleaning services.
Yeah.
What is unique about it, though, is if you mention the one big one mm-hmm. is they want to do events because they want to build a community because mm-hmm. they've proven that people who believe that they know their neighbors stay longer.
Yeah.
That's the number one dollar value that any property manager is going to have, right?
Yeah.
So if every move I'm making as Flamingo is increasing the number of touch points mm-hmm. that my residents are having with one another,
exactly. yep.
then that increases the amount of time that they lease with me.
Yeah.
The more money I make, the more money my owners make, the better I look, the better everyone looks. You literally have the same pitch to every building, mm-hmm. but a different outcome
yep.
for every building.
Yep.
And your problem, of course, is inventory because certain people maybe don't, but like don't use it. But if you were to build in APIs with either custom or you built in APIs with other services to sort of leave a layer.
Yeah.
But then the top layer went to those who are like the first dibs goes to those local
yeah.
and then it branches out. I think you have like that to me is, I've never heard that pitch.
We should hire you.
The second guy in a row says.
We should hire you to our team.
No, but it's true. I've never heard of that, and I never thought of it because no one ever made it clear to me in the concierge amenity war mm-hmm. that the number one, and you didn't say number one, but I think it's a fair
it's
assessment
ones, yeah.
that it is about retention.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about retention because we're entertaining them.
Yeah.
It's about retention because there's a fact everyone. That says if they know each other, they're more likely to stay here, mm-hmm. which is completely logical.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing. I think there's a lot of stuff there. So what do you need to do next in order to make sure that, is it just onboarding more places? Is it building the tech? Like what are the most important things for you to get right for this to work?
So a couple of things. It's onboarding new properties that we have. So really focusing on customer success. So we get into a lot of buildings, and the whole goal now is how do we actually make those buildings successful?
Yep.
So how do we plan for 2-3 years from now when they are now asking, okay, we've done 100 different events, like how has that actually impacted our ROI?
Yep.
So for us, we are future proofing for that. So we are tracking pretty much everything that residents like do, tracking who's attending what event and what the feedback is from those events, and then tracking those individuals over time. So that's one. And then the second one is we are continuing to build out the technology. So we are really an all-in-one platform. And part of that is integrating with the systems that they currently use. So pretty much every building has a resident portal. So residents use that portal to pay rent or request maintenance. So we are integrating with all those different portals to make it even easier for them to request those services like directly through the app.
So my kind of final question on this that I think is an important, I don't want to say even wrap up, it's an important bow on this whole thing. Mm-hmm. is scalability.
Mm-hmm.
So you build technology that can be white labeled,
mm-hmm.
which gives you scalability.
Yeah.
But a lot of these property managers, and this could have changed. Mm-hmm. I'm fairly close to prop tech companies, so I don't think it has changed terribly. But when I was running in real estate, tech was just, I mean, holy shit. Like, no, there was none. I went to a company that literally didn't have the internet.
Yeah, it's like
that's
exploding.
A real thing. Yeah. And it's obviously exploding now, but the challenge is, you know, we just were at a conference yesterday, People Plus People, and it's a lot of like small market, older, mature businesses, mm-hmm. that are small businesses, the traditional small business as a moniker. And what I recognized from them was that for whatever reason, despite what me and the rest of the panel said, mm-hmm. was that they felt compelled to either ditch tech
mm-hmm.
or build their own tech. And my sense is that the real estate companies also will make that mistake of not going out of the box, but building their own things,
mm-hmm.
which then make integration for you a challenge.
Yeah.
And so the question to me is, and I'm going to throw another opportunity at you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's potential for you to sell the white label and then also sell your tech as a service
mm-hmm.
to build the integration system entirely bespoke.
Yeah.
And rather than having someone there manage the tech that doesn't know what the fuck they're doing, mm-hmm. you do know what you're doing, and you also can make it seamless.
Yeah.
There's an interesting part there, because I think you could be a change agent mm-hmm. in the group without even selling it.
Yeah. So I've definitely had some meetings where, especially with the bigger property management companies, where some of them had mentioned that, oh, this is something that we have thought about or that we might build ourselves. Yep. So for us,
it's a huge mistake, by the way, for them.
Yeah.
If they build it themselves, it would be I don't even have to look at it. It'll be a disaster.
I think for most of them, they understand that instinctively, but when they look at costs and trying to think about how is this going to scale across 5, 10, 20, 100 of our buildings, they start thinking like, oh, maybe we should build this.
But I mean, just to make sure people listening are understanding this. I mean, the people that do decide to do that, the challenge is that they have to do a value prop assessment. Is what we're going to spend in order to get the outcome we want worth the amount of money we're going to make as a return from building it?
Yeah. Are we going to constantly iterate, make
Correct.
It better over time?
And if they have 10 buildings or 100 buildings or 2 buildings, that will vary, right?
Yeah.
The price of building this, I'm making this number up, but let's just say it costs $5 million to build a base piece for them.
Yeah.
They probably won't get $5 million back in value mm-hmm. over any reasonable amount of time. It costs $5 million for you to build.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it costs $7 million because you build it a little bit more bells and whistles.
Yeah.
But then you sell to 100 different buildings, so they're only taking a micro cost against you. You have all of the ability to do what is your domain expertise, mm-hmm. and you greatly lower the cost that they're facing so that when they make a return, let's say they only have returned $1 million. They didn't spend $5 million. They spent $250 a year with you.
Yeah.
So they're making money back immediately.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting dynamic. This is for all the investors that are listening to the show, that they should be looking at you, because there's a very interesting dynamic in what you're doing, because you're actually, you do all the things that Flamingo does that you said, but what I hear when I hear this is like, it's a passive behavioral change mm-hmm. is what's going on.
Yeah. And the other interesting point for all of this is the integration bit.
Yeah.
So for a property manager, if they build this themselves, they are not really thinking about everything else. We see a lot, because we are talking to hundreds of property management companies and talking to hundreds of potential like partners. So one of the things we build into the app is scalability and making it really easy to integrate with things that already exist and things that are coming down the line, from smart home technology, so people being able to turn on their lights or change the thermostat just from their phone. So those are all things that a lot of properties are going to have to adopt. And then you have keyless entry, something else that's coming down the line. So there's a lot of technology coming, and you have to build your current systems in a way that they can integrate with those current tech and then future tech that you don't even know exists.
You know, just last free tip, I think it could be interesting, is if you build the interface for this, are you familiar with the Superhuman email app by chance?
I've seen it, but I'm not.
Raul Vora, the CEO that was on the show, and he was talking about another podcast that anyone who's listening should definitely check out, about his objective with the email is to just create delight. Mm-hmm. Like, that's it. That's the simplicity of it, is like, I just want you to feel like this is a delightful experience. If you were to build what he has in the app that I think you should add to yours that is unique, and anyone listening who's building an app that is B2C, really, this is, it could be B2B, but B2C particularly, somewhere prominent, having the ability for a user to send a suggested feedback on, here's an integration, here's something that I would love to see you build. If you could have your current users suggest all these crazy things, some of them will be asinine, but some will be real. And then you brought that list into every meeting with a property manager, like, you're looking at this, just FYI, here's like 45 suggestions from every single person who's on our platform now. Do you have the capability of building that? Because you don't. And I do. And what happens if you build it and I, rather than me, is that you're just going to piss off your tenants because you're not building stuff fast enough because it's not affordable.
Yeah.
And that to me is, you serve so many roles with this company potentially.
Yeah.
Super interesting.
And the thing for a property manager is that the tech itself is really like any type of technology, it's more a means to an end.
Correct.
So it's not the product itself, it's like what it helps you actually accomplish. Like, they don't want to spend an hour looking at an app or spend this doing this. It's they want to get residents what they need, they want to get information out to residents, they want to book an event, or they want to do XYZ.
Yep.
So it's all just making it where they get to where they need to be.
It's so funny that you followed up the show that came out before you is Village MD, which completely different everything. Mm-hmm. But well, you obviously were in the medical field, so you probably understand, but like the concept is basically to say, and you said it yourself in the beginning of the show, we can do a better job serving people where they are, mm-hmm. rather than trying to make them come to us and enter our crazy world.
Yeah.
And I think that your approach to this is one of the more, let's say, I want to say refreshing, but it's really like one of the more realistic. Yeah. Because I think the other people that I've talked to, not that their business ideas are not good, they are, but they're trying to force change behavior rather than just being like, yeah, we'll come to you. It's fine. It's totally like, we don't make you make any moves you didn't want to make.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And for us, it's all like lessons that we learned. It's you do it and then it doesn't work. And they try something else. It doesn't work. And then you get to where it's more cohesive.
And you welcome that, which is also refreshing. There's plenty of founders out there like, it's my way. And it's like, well, all of your, like, all the users you don't have are going to tell you that it's not your way.
It's all the customers.
You will have an app for one. Yep. That's all I can guarantee. Okay, cool. Well, thank you so much. Where do people go to learn about this? And I think most importantly, where do people go to suggest this to their property managers that they check it out?
Getflamingo.com.
Very cool. Yep. Awesome. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Of course. To apply to pitch on the Saturday Startup Showcase on WGN Radio, go to technori.com. Boom. That's a wrap.